I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our freelance journalist Jimmy Israel. He's with us from Cleveland. Here in Washington, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar. Also here in our D.C. studio, Johns Hopkins political science professor and blogger Lester Spence and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. He's in from San Diego. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey, my man.
Doing good, man.
Hey, shucky hey. Ducky.
All righty then.
Step away from the Red Bull.
Right. Well, you know what? Just a few days after President Obama announced his support for same-sex marriage, Newsweek magazine created a buzz with this kind of provocative cover. You'll remember it shows President Obama with a rainbow halo around his head, and the headline, "The First Gay President." Kind of reminds me when Toni Morrison knighted Bill Clinton, the first black president. Lester Spence, the good doctor, you've been blogging about this. Politically, what do you think President Obama's same-sex marriage announcement, what do you think it means?
Well, I think it means that for the first time, not really for the first time, but it really gives gays and lesbians and people who support them increased political capital to actually fight for marital rights, right? I mean, so we think of marriage as kind of a thing that people do, but there are like 1,200 state and federal benefits that come with marriage that people who are married, that people who want to engage in same-sex marriages cannot actually have, right? So just him saying that he supports it gives them increased political capital to fight. Now, there are some concerns that he may lose support from, say, African Americans, for example. But the reality is that black...
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, but no, the reality is that black people, black attitudes on this issue are really changing, and that's unlikely to happen. This is really a great day.
I've always thought the whole meme about black people being homophobic. I always thought that was overblown. Ruben Navarrete, you've said before in the shop that black folks vote against same-sex marriage when the issue comes up at the polls. Okay, yeah. Well, do you think this will change anything?
Well, they are not alone. Latinos also vote. A majority of Latinos voted against gay marriage on the day they voted for Barack Obama to be president in 2008. There's a paradox for you. A number of African Americans in California, the majority of African Americans in California on that same night went to the polls, elected Barack Obama to be president, voted against gay marriage. So those two communities have had that issue. It's taken me a while. 10 years ago, I was on that train of folks who believed in a civil union and didn't like the idea of gay marriage. But for the last 10 years, I've been in favor of gay marriage. And it really is a tough issue for a lot of politicians to come down on. I don't think the president went far enough, and I'm not alone in that regard. A lot of folks... if you saw Barbara Walters interview him on The View, she was trying to pin him down as to more of a commitment in terms of what are you prepared to do as president. You're not just some taxi driver. You know, you don't just teach, you know, college. You don't just write a column. What is it that you're prepared to do as president to put words to actions to your words? And he wouldn't be pinned down. All he says is, I support gay marriage. I support the idea of it. But he hasn't said that he would help repeal DOMA, you know, the Defense of Marriage Act. And this is, again, Barbara Walters isn't alone in trying to pin him down and trying to get more out of him. I just think this is words, words, words. And unfortunately, in this administration, we've seen time and again, they think words and actions are interchangeable. They think words are just as good as actions.
Yeah, but Ruben, ask this, Ruben, two things here. Yeah. First of all, you're also the same guy who's also telling him to set his priorities. I mean, this has been your ongoing theme here. It's about the economy, and why are you diverting from that? That should be your priority. And every time he's done something other than that, you've criticized him for not setting priorities. So, number one, I want to know what's up with that. And number two, I wanted to ask you on a personal level. You said that you were kind of civil marriage, yes, marriage, no, 10 years ago. I'm curious about what changed your mind.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to take on the second part first, but I think with regard to his priorities, I said all along he'd have had a much smoother presidency if he had focused on the economy like a laser in the first term, and then the first year of the term, the first year. And because people would have said, well, even if he didn't make it, even if he wasn't able to make a dent in it, at least he tried. And I think that it took him too long to get to that, and I've said that before. But I think the gay community is saying you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You've said you come in and taken our money. You know, you have these bundlers who go into the gay community. They want something in return for that. and they hope that this is sort of going to help them along those lines. But they have been very unhappy with this president, as you know, up to this point, because they think that he is actually evolving in the other direction. Now, I started off against gay marriage and ended up more in favor of it. He's been sort of reversed when you look at what he did in the Illinois legislature. What changed my mind is this basic idea that family members of mine who are gay should have the same rights to be married as I do. And when you see it as a case of marriage equality and just liberty, freedom, like everybody else having the same freedom as the person next door, I think it's much harder to run against mm-hmm. it than when you see it as a religious institution and the idea of marriage being special and between a man and a woman. So for me, it's about equality and it's about liberty, and that's where I've arrived.
Hey, Jimmy, can Arsalan jump in here? He's dying.
Okay.
He's jumping out of his chair.
Go ahead, A-Train.
Well, you know, fellas, you know who's not getting enough props in this whole thing is Uncle Joe Biden. Oh, you know, let's not forget that Vice President Joe Biden went on the Sunday talk show, not only coming out publicly in support of gay marriage, but, you know, throwing the Will and Grace reference in there. But, you know, that really was the impetus that brought this about. And so I'm waiting for Vice President Biden to start, you know, dropping dimes about, you know, decriminalizing marijuana or clothing Guantanamo Bay.
Joe is the gift that keeps
indefinite detention.
But, you know,
right.
For
the interesting thing, you know, as a civil rights lawyer, what I always tell people is that in America, under our constitutional system, the protection of the civil rights of one person is the protection of the civil rights of everyone. And the example I always give is the landmark Supreme Court decision of Brown versus the Board of Education, which was about a 7-year-old little black girl in Kansas who could not go to the school next door to her. But the landmark decision actually became the legal precedent for Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which protects every single American from employment discrimination. Yeah. So we have to understand that even though we might not be gay or we might not be an immigrant, we have to understand that the protection of the civil rights of one American is the protection of all American mm-hmm. civil rights.
Jimmy wants to.
Can I get this out right
yeah.
quick? Ruben, you were said something about our black and brown brothers going to the polls and voting down gay marriage. You know, I want to clarify something. We don't believe it's a racial thing so much as we believe it's a religion thing. Yeah, I mean, do we agree about that?
I think no doubt. Religion is a big part of it with regard to.
I think
the
religion is the part of
and,
it.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think it can be justified. I don't think you can hide behind religion when you say that a group of people should be disenfranchised. Living in California, when that ballot initiative Prop 8 was on the ballot, it was pretty clear. This was an attempt to disenfranchise a segment of the California population. And it was almost a 50-50 vote. It was so incredibly close, right? So incredibly close. And it was a big disappointment to me personally that a majority of Latinos who don't need lectures on being discriminated against were on the wrong side, and a majority of African Americans were on the wrong side.
I don't know how you call something so fundamental to people's being as religion for some people as hiding behind it. I mean, you wouldn't say you can't hide behind your sexuality. You can't hide behind your intellect. I mean, if that is fundamental to who you are, how do you call it hiding behind as opposed to a profound belief that has to be engaged?
Yeah. I'm having trouble with a community that has typically during the civil rights movement gone to the church as a focal point of a movement for equality, then coming back to the same church as somehow a focal point for an attempt to deny equality to another group of people. It doesn't work that way, and it doesn't sound good when it's coming from Latinos. It doesn't sound good when it's coming from African Americans. Now, African Americans who are gay and Latinos who are gay have been saying this for some time, that it's particularly hurtful that their communities are not in their corner. So what I'm saying here is that the president can talk all he wants, but there's a lot of folks out there who want to see some serious action and they want to see
it. But that is the same thing is true of religious minorities, like people who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or perhaps people who are conservative Jewish people. I mean, those are also religious minorities in this country who also may have a deep and profound belief
right.
that marriage should take on a certain form. And nobody turns to them and say, how could you say that? Because
I mean, but if you're Jewish or you're a Mormon and you know what it's like to be discriminated against, where do you get off discriminating against somebody else?
Has the gay community made any bridges to the people of communities of color that I'm not aware of? Any substantial bridges to the people of color that I'm not aware of? I'm just curious. I'm going to put that out there because I keep hearing this conversation about what black people and brown people are supposed to do. But you know, there can't be any generosity without reciprocity.
You know, Jimmy, you know, there's just we're living it right now. We have this very ugly history with regard to the Unity Conference. You know, the Unity Conference bringing together the African-American, Latino, Asian-American
right. I know all about
journalists,
it,
the whole story, right? Well, you know about the latest wrinkle. The fact is that when it was opened up to gay and lesbian journalists, okay, there was one group that defected, and that was the group of black journalists.
That wasn't
defected.
The only reason. That's not the reason. I'm sorry.
You're going inside baseball
that,
now.
I'm sorry. Just as a matter of record, first of all, it's a very minor issue, but secondly, it was not about LGBT journalists. It was about financial issues and a sense of the financial burden because the NABJ happens to be the largest association. I'm sure three people care about that, including us, but I just feel that that's just not accurate. Well, anyway, we need to move on. I'm sorry, John. This is a really rich and important discussion, but there are other things that I know Jimmy wanted to talk about. So in our weekly barbershop roundtable with freelance journalist Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and political science professor Lester Spence. I know Ruben is so shy today. I don't know. What can we do to bring him out of his shell?
But, you
know,
move the coffee away from Ruben.
But, you know, talking about can we all get along on a lighter note,
these two popular
New Jersey leaders teamed up on this video spoof this week. It was for kind of their legislative follies, or a lot of state legislatures have this kind of tradition where they do some sort of a dinner. It's supposed to encourage people to, you know, get along. Can I just play a short clip of
it? Yeah, drop it.
Do you want to hear it? Okay, here it is.
You guys got any problems you want me to handle? Like a fire anywhere? People trapped?
No.
Like a bad automobile accident where you need me to help some folks?
No, nothing like that.
You need me to be the cat in a tree?
No, I think we're all set here.
Trooper, what do we got?
Mayor, thank you for coming. There's a 2-alarm fire down on State Street. We do have a car broken down on Route 1. And yes, a little girl has lost her cat in a tree.
All right, Trooper, as you were, Governor, I got this.
Anyway, the deal is that this plays off Cory Booker. His real-life reputation as a hands-on mayor who literally just did, in fact, save a neighbor who was in a burning building.
That's right.
Governor Christie is, trying to get in on that. Not to his success. So I don't know. I'm wondering
Good
what
luck.
You guys think about that. Well, I don't know. Jimmy, what do you think?
You know what? I saw the video and I was like, overall, the mise-en-scene was kind of reminiscent of Wes Anderson circa The Life Aquatic. The multiple camera style kind of shot right to digital. I dug it. You know, it looked expensive but exhaustive to edit. It was well acted mostly, but not funny enough for me. And for a lot of other people, I think, kind of sticking the zeitgeist in any substantial way. And I don't think it's going to change anybody's political mind either.
I understood words of that. But anyway, Arsalan, including the and Anne.
No, I loved the video. And what's interesting for me, living here in Washington, D.C., you know, having to deal with Beltway politics, it shows how hyper-partisan our country has become here in Washington, D.C. It reminds me of a conversation that I had a few months ago with Clarence Page, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist from the Chicago Tribune, where he said, you know, Arsalan, I've covered D.C. for 35 years. And the level of vitriol, you know, back in the 80s, Arlen Specter and Ted Kennedy would yell at each other on the Senate floor and then go play a round of golf afterwards. He's like, I just don't see that as being possible today. And what I saw with the Booker Christie video was that, you know, at the state and local level, you know, people are crossing party lines in a way that they're just not doing here. And it really, really brought that to light for me.
Lester, what do you think?
Yeah, along those same lines, though, you have to remember the relationship between a governor and a mayor. A governor of a big city mayor is different, right? So Coleman Young, the first black mayor of Detroit, he worked really, really closely with William Milliken, who was a governor of Michigan during the first couple of terms. So I think it's a good video. We have to understand that. But we have to make sure that we don't make the leap and say, okay, wow, I wish our D.C. politics was more like this.
Because it's different.
Yeah, how people engage in personally has absolutely no effect on these really substantial political differences. I wouldn't necessarily want, say, for example, somebody far, far on the left, like John Conyers. I wouldn't want John Conyers to hang out with Ryan before
Paul Ryan,
or after.
Budget committee chair. Yeah, really?
Paul Ryan.
You don't want them to hang out? You don't think a game of bowling could smooth things over a little bit?
What it does is it leads to like a beer summit view of politics, right? Where the only thing, where what we need to have people do is get together and talk it out and then just, you know, kind of smooth out differences. No, these are deep, enduring political differences that we need conflict to reconcile.
That's interesting. Ruben,
And Lester gets to why I thought it would be more useful to just have a craft critique of the piece rather than talk about it politically, because there's nothing else there to talk about.
Yeah, so. it's a nice gesture. I like the idea of people coming across party lines. I get the difference with the governor and mayor's relationship, but I just had a much warmer feel for the actual event. If you remember how Mayor Cory Booker handled himself at the press day that day, they're all trying to call him a hero and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, in a very class act, very classy, said, you know what, I just did what anybody else would do. Yeah. And I flash back to that. I thought that was a much more, you know, sophisticated and respectful way of dealing with it.
It was a very profound event. Actually, we talked to him right after that. After he did his neighbor to safety, and it was a very profound
the way he handled
event. You all remember that. Okay, before we let you go, you know I can't say goodbye without getting those NBA, the playoff picks. You know, have to do it. Arsalan is doing his happy dance because, Arsalan, you're our man here. Who do you pick to win it all? And
well, I mean, you know,
why do we even ask this?
Well, no, I mean, you know, with this condensed NBA season, you know, Derrick Rose is out of the playoffs. Dwight Howard's been out of the playoffs. You know, Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat is out indefinitely. We don't know when he's coming back. You know, so in the East, it kicks open the door for my beloved Boston Celtics to potentially make their one last run of their big three of, you know, Paul the Truth Pierce, Ray Jesus Shuttlesworth Allen, and Kevin Big Ticket Garnett, who's just turning back the clock. But in the West, I think that's the San Antonio Spurs and Oklahoma City Thunder are the two best teams in the NBA. It's kind of sad that they're going to have to duke it out to actually play somebody from the East in the finals, but I think it's going to be San Antonio and Boston. I got to pick my Boston Celtics in six games.
I am shocked by that.
I know.
Now,
right?
Lester, you know, your Pistons are out, so are you still watching?
Yeah, so you didn't let me. You know, normally I just say Detroit. It doesn't matter, right?
No matter what.
Yeah, I think if Bosh doesn't get healthy, I think it probably will be Boston and San Antonio. And I think it'll be San Antonio.
Okay. Ruben, what you like?
I'm going to pull for San Antonio. Lay a shout out to my friend Julian Castro, the mayor out there. Pull for him. But, you know, I'm agnostic on basketball. Bring back football season. Let's get going.
No wings for you. Jimmy, you're a Cleveland man. You know, your Cavaliers lost LeBron James to the Miami Heat ahead of last season. The Heat fell in the finals last year to the Mavericks. So what do you call it this time?
You know what? I got to say sorry to my man, Scott Rabb. I got to rock with the Heat, you know, because, you know, LeBron's got a lot to prove. He's Mr. MVP. You know, it's all in the shoes that came out, and they're just sweet. So if he can't win in those shoes, he can't win.
Oh, hey, I know what I want for Christmas. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University. He was with us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist who writes for the Washington Post Writers Group, Latino Magazine, and CNN.com, with us from San Diego. Lester Spence is a blogger and political science professor at Johns Hopkins University. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and founder of the Muslim Guide.com. Arsalan and Lester here with me in Washington, D.C. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.